Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur, nine lines from the top at the Mishnah. Before we begin the Mishnah, we glance at the side under our Nosei heading, where we've written Nochri Shebo Lechabois Dleiko B'Shabbos, where a Gentile comes along with the intent of putting out a fire that's raging on Shabbos. The Gemara, the Mishnah, Nochri Shebo Lechabois, Ein Omrim Lo Kabei, we do not tell the Gentile, put out the fire. There is a prohibition of requesting non-Jews to do malachis on Shabbos. Therefore, you cannot tell the Gentile, put out the fire, as putting out the fire is a Shabbos violation. V'al techabeh, and also there is no restriction on a Gentile who is putting out the fire to continue doing so. Therefore, if you see a Gentile putting out your fire, you don't have to tell him, stop putting it out. Because the obligation of a Gentile to cease from malacha is not something that I am obligated to oversee. In other words, if he's doing it, he can continue doing it. His necessity of being shoves, of stopping malachas on Shabbos, is not something that I am obligated to ensure. Avol. Now, in contrast, avokoton shebo lechabois, a child who comes to put out a fire, ein shomin lo, we don't allow him to do so. Bitnei sheshvisoso alein, because the obligation of a Koton, even though he is not chayev in mitzvahs, but his non-activity is something that I am obligated to ensure, to make sure of. I'm not allowed to have a Jewish child, to do malachas on Shabbos. And if we bring things to home, a father is not allowed to have his son do malachas for him on Shabbos. The Gemara. We have on the side of the Gemara, Im Mutar Lomar, is it Mutar for someone to announce, Kol HaMechabe Eino Mafsid, to make a general announcement to the non-Jewish community when a fire is raging, and to say anyone who puts out the fire will not lose. The Gemara, Amar Aviyami, B'Deleiko Hitiru Lomar Kol HaMechabe Eino Mafsid. In the event that a fire breaks out, it is mutter for the Jew to say anyone who puts out the fire won't lose. And people will, of course, draw their own conclusions from hearing such an announcement. The Gemara asks, Neimo Misayale, and here this question lasts a couple of lines. The source says, Nochri, the Neimo Misayale is a question, can we say that we have a Tanaic source that supports Rabbi Ami? The source says, Nochri Shebo Lechabois, Ein Omrim Lo Kabei, Gentile, our Mishnah said this, that a Gentile comes along to put out fire. We don't instruct or ask a Gentile to put it out, V'al Techabe, nor do I tell him, stop putting it out. In other words, if he's in the middle of doing so, I don't tell him to stop. And they change shvisos while then, because his shvisa is not something that I am obligated to oversee. And now we infer from our Mishnah, kabe hu dolo amrinon, put it out is something we don't say. Ha kol mechabe ino mafsid amrinon le. However, we can infer from the point number one of the Mishnah that I would be allowed to say anyone who would put out the fire won't lose out. In other words, the only thing that the Mishnah restricts is a specific positive instruction to put out the fire. But an announcement of this nature wouldn't be prohibited. The Gemara rejects this method of logic. Eimo seifa. Well, let us state the seifa. Al techabe lo amrino le. The seifa, that's point number two in the Mishnah, is that we're not charged with telling the Gentile who is putting out a fire to stop putting out my fire. V'chol hamechabe no mafsid nami lo amrino le. In other words, I don't tell the Gentile to stop, nor do I tell him that anyone who puts out the fire won't lose out. Now, you might ask, how do you conclude from that which the Mishnah says to this point as well? So Rashi explains. The Rashi that we're looking at is found under the Gemara text, Al techabeh hu delo amrino leh, she'enu tzorch limchos biyado. I'm not charged with protesting his actions. Umihu gilui daito dolo yafsid b'davar, but to reveal that he won't lose out, lo nami lo mystery, that also is not permitted. Let's go over this point. I'm not obligated to stop him. However, I am also not allowed to inform that anyone who does put it out, won't lose. De'i gilui daito shari, if it were allowed to announce that anyone who puts it out won't lose out, lomo lei lemisni seifa, why would the seifa bother telling us ein tzorech limchos? In other words, if it were allowed to announce anyone who's going to put it out won't lose, it's quite obvious that I don't have to stop someone who is putting it out. So from the fact that the Mishnah troubles itself by telling me that I don't have to stop him, however, that doesn't mean that I can announce words of encouragement either. So inferring from the Reisha, I come to one conclusion. Inferring from point number two, I come to an opposite conclusion. Therefore, the Gemara says, Elo meholek olamashmi no. From this, from our Mishnah, there is nothing to conclude. In other words, to assume that one aspect of the Mishnah is speaking bedafka to the exclusion of something else, that we cannot say. Tanu Rabbanan. We continue in the Gemara with a Tanaic source. Maisa v'nofla d'leko b'chatzir shel Yosef ben Simoi b'shichin. An incident happened where a fire broke out in the courtyard of this gentleman, Yosef ben Simoi, in the place called Shichin. Ubo anshe gistera shel tzipor l'chabois. And the officers of the governmental officers of Tzipori came to put out the fire. Mipnei she'apetroipus shel melechoya. This Yosef ben Simoi was the executor of the king. Velo hi nichon mipnei kvod hashabbos. He did not allow them to put out the fire as an act of honor to Shabbos. Vinasa lones, a miracle happened. V'yordu gishamim v'kibo. Rain fell and put out the fire. Lo'erev shiger l'chol echod mehem shtei sloyin. That evening, after Shabbos, he sent cash to two coins. A sela is a type of coin, a denomination, and he sent two coins to each one of the fellows that came. La'farchus shibahen chamishim, and to their overseeing officer, the afarchus, he sent 50 coins. And when the Chachomim heard this story, they said, "Lo hoyot zorech lekach." What he didn't need to do what he did. Sherei shoninu, we have learned. Nochri shibal lechabos ein omrim lo kabe fial techabe. If a goy comes to put out a fire, so you don't instruct him put it out. But on the other hand, you don't have to stop him. So if they came on their own to put it out, they could have, in fact, done so. Avo koton shebo lechabos ein shomin lo mipnei shishvisaso alehen. A miner who comes, so we don't allow him because I am charged with his non with his non-Shabbos activity. I'm charged with making sure that the Kotan is Shoves. The Gemara asks a question that has ramifications to many other sugyos. Shamas Mino, should we conclude from here? Koton Oichel Nevelos Bezdin Mitsuvin Olov Lafrisho. If you see a Koton, a minor, eating unkosher food, Nevelos, specifically meat that hasn't been slaughtered, but we can extend that to all examples of unkosher food. Bezdin is Mitsuvah, is instructed Lafrisho to see, to stop him from doing it. In our Mishnah, it seems that a child who comes to put out a fire on Shabbos, I must stop him. So it seems that it is an obligation upon those who are in charge to stop minors from sinning. So should we conclude that? And obviously this has very broad ramifications. Whenever you see a child sinning, so then one would be obligated to step in and stop him. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, we're not going to come to that broad conclusion from this Mishnah. Rather, b'koton ha'oseh l'das aviv. This is an example of a koton, a child, doing so knowing that his father will be happy with the results. And that's why the koton, that's why the minor is doing it. He's doing it for his father. And it's not an example of the general population of minors. The Gemara asks, the Kavasa Gabi Nochri, the parallel case by the Gentile that was also featured in the Mishnah together with the Koton, the Ka'avid Ledaite di Yisrael Mishori, a Gentile who is doing so knowing that the Jewish owner will be happy with this. So he's doing it to please the owner. The Jewish owner, is that really allowed? Rashi says, Nochri adaite dena, let's continue in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Nochri ledaite denafshe ovid. A goy, a Gentile who comes to put out the fire, even though he may know that the Jew will be happy with that, nevertheless, he is doing so by virtue of his own desires, his own decision. As Rashi says, Lahanos atzmo miskavein. He knows that he won't lose out. So that is why the Gentile is operating totally on his own, as opposed to a child who doesn't have all of these calculations in mind that he won't lose out, but he is doing so simply to please his father. That is that's the case of the Mishnah, that we have to stop the Koton from putting out the fire. He's putting out his father's the fire on his father's property. But as far as a general case of minors putting out fires for other people on Shabbos, we can't conclude that that would be prohibited from our mission. Of course, when we say it's not prohibited, namely that we would be obligated to stop the Koton. The Mishnah. Koifen Kora al Gabi Haner Bishvil Shelo Techos Bekora. One can flip over a kora, a bowl made of clay, on a candle whose flame is burning very close to a ceiling beam. In other words, might be low beams or very tall candle. Whatever the case is, you can flip over the clay bowl over the candle, provided, of course, that you don't put out the candle in doing so. There's a lift. You're leaving enough space under the inverted bowl where oxygen will get in. So I'm not putting out the candle, but what I am doing is I'm protecting the beam from being burnt. The Mishnah continues, the Al Tzoah Shil Koton. I can flip over a bowl over the defecation of a child, the al akrov shilotishach, and on a scorpion so that it doesn't bite or doesn't sting. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Maise bald ifnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. An incident of inverting a bowl over a scorpion came to his awareness. Be arov, in a place called arov, the omar choshishani lo mechatos. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai reacted and said, I think that this might be, this borders on a Torah level violation. Rashi adds very importantly that since the scorpion in that incident was not running after someone to sting him, so I'm not sure, he says, whether this might very well be a violation of tseida, of trapping. In the event that the scorpion is chasing someone to bite him, so there is an allowance to stop it by flipping over a bowl. But in this case, since that wasn't the situation, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said that there might be a Torah-level violation in trapping the scorpion. We continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, Rabbi Chanan bar Rova, Iklu lebei Ovin demin Nishikya. So we have three Rabbonim visiting Ovin from Nishikya. Nishikya is the name of a place. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, to these two of the three rabbis, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Aisu lehu Puraisa. So beds were brought for them to sit on. L'Rav Chanan bar Rova lo aisu lei, but he was not presented, and he had to sit on the floor. You can imagine his feeling. Ashkechei masni lei librei. So Rav Chanan saw the host teaching his son. He overheard the host teaching his son the following: V'al tsoa shokotan mipnei kotan. The point that we learned in the Mishnah, the covering of the defecation of a child. So he heard this host teaching his son that one is allowed to cover the defecation of a child, and mipnei koton. Rashi explains shelo yitapeach bo v'yislach lech, so that the child shouldn't start handling the defecation and become dirty. Well, upon hearing this, so Rav Chanan raises a question, and the question lasts a couple of lines. You can see the question marking to the right hand side of the Gemara. Amarle, Ovin Shatya Masni Shtusa Livnei. Literally, Ovin the fool, Ovin is the name of his host here, Ovin the fool is teaching foolishness to his son. Vahalo hi atzma muchenes leklavim. Why bother covering the defecation when you can pick up the defecation directly, pick it up, and move it away if it bothers you, if you don't want the kid to get dirty? And you'll ask, well, of what Shabbos use is defecation? So it is true that dogs eat that. So why are you teaching your son something that's just not accurate? You're teaching him that you're not allowed to move it, but if you're afraid that the kid will get dirty, so you can flip over a bowl to keep the kid away from it. Why do you have to bother flipping over a bowl when you can remove the defecation itself? And if you say, well, it wasn't available, it wasn't fit from yesterday, the child defecated today on Shabbos, not Friday, so you might say that it wasn't fit from yesterday, and therefore it's considered nolad. Nolad is something that wasn't there before Shabbos. Nolad is a category of muktzeh, so therefore you cannot move it. V'ha tanya, we have the following source that we'll read in a moment, but the following source basically says that things that, even though they're not here right now on Shabbos, but they were expected to arrive, they are considered allowed. They're considered as if they're already here. The source says, Nahoros Hamoshen, Umayonos Hanovim, flowing rivers and wells that are Novim, their water emerges. Hare Hein Keragle Kol Odom. This source is dealing with the concept of an Eruv Tchumin, that whereby an item is defined by the owner's location on Shabbos. So that if a person, let us say, comes to a particular river and he's coming from a city 2,000 amas to the south, the person can scoop up the water and take the water to his town, back to his town. That's what the expression ragle kol oda means. For our purposes, though, what are we supposed to get from this? The water that he scoops up, was it there on Shabbos? No, it came from upstream. So the water that's in front of him now wasn't there on Shabbos. It was the water that he is scooping up came on Shabbos. It wasn't there from before Shabbos. It wasn't there on Friday. And yet, it's okay. Why is it okay? Because it was expected. And Rashi points out, you can look in the Rashi where we've dashed underlined it. These particular orders were not in front of him on Friday. Since it's normal for rivers to flow, his mind was on these waters. So to in our case, since it's the way of children to defecate, his mind was on it. He was aware of its coming, that when the child will deposit his waste, he will take it and feed his dog. So there's no muktza problem with regard to the defecation. So, and here we are at the end of the question that Rav Chonon bar Rava is putting to the host that sat him on the ground. Why are you teaching your son foolishness? You're teaching your son to cover the defecation when you can actually carry it right out. So how should I teach my son? That if you're going to teach him about flipping over a vessel on waste, you can speak about chicken waste. Chicken waste is something that dogs do not eat. And Rashi explains very importantly, how are we to fit this into the Mishnah? So Rashi says, "Tzoa shel tarnegolim de lo chazi leklovim." It's not fit for dogs. The shell koton de kotoni b'masnisin. The Mishnah that spoke about flipping over a bowl on the tzoa of tzoa, and it said shell koton. That was the lashon in the Mishnah about tzoa shell koton. And now we're saying it doesn't. It's not the tzoa, the defecation of a koton. We're talking about chicken defecation. So what does shell koton mean? So the Rashi says, "V'shalkota dekotoni masnisen shemetapech bo koton komar." It's you're flipping over bowl on waste that a koton will play with. U'bishvil hakoton omar kofen, and because of the koton, because he will touch it, we therefore want to cover it. The Gemara asks, but still, v'tepuk lei dehave giraf shel rei. Why cover it over? Why not move the chicken waste? Based on the concept or the din of graf shari is a graf is a vessel that is used for holding waste. We can something like a child's potty. And something like that, a graf shari is something that you are allowed to move. It is something that is disgusting when it's in your presence and you want to sit in a clean, pleasant environment. So if a child, let's say, deposited his waste in a potty, you're allowed to move it away. Same thing here. The tzoa shel tarnegolim is something that's disgusting, so you should be allowed to move it away. The chitema graf shel ri, you might say, no, the chicken waste I can't move because the heter of graf shel ri, agav mona in ihu gufe lo. The concept of graf shel ri is only because there is a vessel in the picture, just like we said there was a child's potty. But if it's just waste by itself, ihu gufe means without the vessel, you would not be allowed to move the disgusting stuff. That's not true. V'ahu achbor d'ishtakach b'isparmaki. There was a case of a dead mouse found in the isparmaki de Ravashi, the spices of Ravashi. He had a spice bin, and in the spice bin there was a dead mouse that was found. The Omar Lohu, and Ravashi said, Nekotu bitsu tsise viafkua, take the mouse by its tail and get it out of here. We see that even without the vessel, you can move that which is disgusting. So our question is, why the flipping over of the bowl? So the Gemara answers, be'ashpa. The chicken waste is found in a garbage heap, an ashpa, and therefore it's not something that is disgusting. It's there in the garbage heap. You don't sit next to the garbage heap. The question, though, is v'katan b'ashpa mai boile. What's the child doing by the ashpa? We're talking about a heter to carry a vessel for something that that it itself is not allowed to be carried. So we need a basis for the heter. But the child isn't going to be a reasonable basis for that heter. The child isn't found by the ashpa in the first place. So the Gemara responds. B'chotzer, we're talking about the chicken waste is in a courtyard. Question: well, then chotzer nami giraf shel rei hu. The if it's in a chotzer, that's a place that people sit. It is disgusting to have the chicken waste there. So move it without the inverting of a vessel. So the Gemara answers be'ashpa shebechotzer. It's talking about the garbage heap in the courtyard. So what does that do for us? You can't move the chicken waste directly because it's not in a place that is disgusting to you. You don't sit next to the garbage heap that's in the chotzer. However, since it is a chotzer, children play there, and therefore there is the fear the child will start handling the chicken waste. Therefore, there is a heter to cover it. The Gemara continues. The Al Akrov Shelo Tishach. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Kol Hamazikin Erogim B'Shabbos. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi gives a general rule that all dangerous creatures can be killed on Shabbos. Mazikin are creatures that inflict damage. Damage, injury, etc. And the topic at hand we have on the side, Harigas Mazikin B'Shabbos. That's the topic, the killing of Mazikin on Shabbos. Mosiv Rav Yosef. We have a Tanaic source, and you'll notice that we've dashed underlined the word Chamisha. Just above this, we had dashed underlined the word Kol. So we now listen to Rav Yosef's question, which lasts a couple of lines, as we've indicated. Chamisha Neherogin B'Shabbos. There are five creatures that one is allowed to kill on Shabbos. V'Elohim, Zvuv Sheberetz Mitzrayim, V'Tzira Shebeninvei, V'Akrov Shebechadayov, V'Nochosh Sheberetz Yisrael, V'Kelev Shoyte B'Chol Mokoyim. It's not essential for the understanding of the Gemara to translate what each one of these creatures are, but we can make an attempt at that. The first is the Egyptian fly. The second, Tziro Shebenin Veninve, is a plague. So the Tziro is a type of stinging insect, maybe a wasp, in Ninve. The Chadayev, scorpion. Number four is the Israeli Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, snake. And a Kelev Sheita B'chomokom might be a rabies-afflicted dog. Wherever. Money. This source is in accordance with whom? Ilemo Rabbi Yehuda. If it's in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, it wouldn't conform to his approach. Ha Omar, he has been known to say, Malacha Sheino Tzricha Lelufa Chayov Olea, that a person who violates a Malacha Shabbos, even if it's not for the purpose for which it was designed in the Mishkan, nevertheless, it is considered a Torah-level violation. And we have to add something that's very important, and that this source that speaks about the five that are subject to being killed, the Havamina right now is that even if they're not chasing you. Now, to kill something that's not chasing you, so you're not confronted with a life-threatening situation, you're initiating the killing of it because you happen to notice it. Well, if this were according to Rabbi Yehuda, he wouldn't allow any of them to be killed, because a melacha is being done, even though it's not done for the purpose for which Netilas Neshama is designed. Elolav, Rabbi Shimon. So we'd have to conclude that who would allow the killing of these things? It would only be Rabbi Shimon, who says that a melacha shein tzricha legufa, one is potter for that. Vahani hu deshori achrini lo. Only these five are allowed, not all mazikin. So this is the question on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. How can he say all mazikin when this source, which is in accordance with the lenient approach of Rabbi Shimon, and still you're limited to five? Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah. Uman ne'molon deha mitart sosahi. Who is to say that this source itself, as it is accurate? Dilma mishabeshtahi. Maybe the source is erroneous. Omar Rav Yosef, ano masnino lo. I taught this source, the osivna law, and I raised this source as a question. V'ano mitaritzna law, and I will also answer this source. Berotsu acharov v'divrei hakol. Berotsu acharov. We have to explain more accurately. The din of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is where the mazikin are in pursuit of the victim. And in that case, all mazikin can be killed, because that is an issue of pikuach nefesh, of something that's life-threatening. And even Rabbi Yehuda would allow that. The source, the Tanaig source, that said five can be killed even if they're not pursuing the victim, that is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. But there's no kasha on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, according to Rav Yosef's answer, is the mazikin, the threatening creatures, were in pursuit of the victim, as opposed to the circumstances of the source that Rav Yosef quoted. The Gemara continues. Toni Tano Kamei Derava Bar Ravuna, a person familiar with Tanaic sources, taught in the presence of Rava Baravuna the following source. Ha-horeg nechoshim v'akrovim b'shabas, ein ruach chasidim noicha heimenu. One who kills snakes and scorpions on Shabbos, so the pious ones are not at ease, don't have a positive attitude towards someone like that. Ein ruach chasidim noicha heimenu. The chasidim, the pious ones, are not satisfied, are not happy with someone that does that. So this is what was taught in the presence of Rava Bar Rav Huna. Rava Bar Rav Huna, though, responds, Omar Le, the oison chasidim ein ruach hachamim noyichem ehem. Those pious ones are not in the good graces with the scholars, with the Talmidei Chachomim, with the Rabbonon. Why? Because the Chachomim hold it's good to kill them. Upligo derav huna. That means that what Rava, the son of Rav Huna, says is at odds with his father. And you can, before we go further, just notice with the double underline how we've highlighted Rava, Barav Huna, and Rav Huna, father and son. The Rav Huna, Chazelu Gavro, the Kokotil Zibura. Rav Huna saw someone killing a Zibura. A Zibura is often translated as a bee or a wasp. Amarle, Rav Huna saw this and said to the man killing the Zibura, he said to him sarcastically, Shalem Tinu Lekulu, did you kill all of them? In other words, what you're doing killing him is not good. The sarcasm is, if you kill one, you haven't killed them all. You haven't accomplished anything. we see that Rav Huna was not in favor of the killing of the Mazik, whereas Rava of Rav Huna would have been in favor of that. Tonu Rabbonan, Nizdamnu lo Nechoshev HaKrovim, person who chanced upon snakes and scorpions, Hargon, if he was successful in killing them, Biodua Shinizdamnu lo Lahargon, then it's a sign from above that he came upon them to kill them. And as Rashi says, the Gilgulus Chus Ayadei Zakai, and a positive act was done by a positive individual. Lo Hargon, if you chanced upon them but were unsuccessful in killing them, Biodua Shinizdamnu lo Hargo, then it should be known to you that they were brought here to kill him, to kill the person. Vinasu lo nes min hashamayim, and a miracle was wrought for him and he was saved. Omar ula vitema rabo bar chano. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Vinishofin bo. The source that we just read that said Nizdamnu Lahorgo, that they were brought here, or let it be known that they were sent to kill him. This is true if they are Nishofin bo, if they're hissing at him, showing their anger with him. So that is those are the circumstances of the source where we said, let it be known that they were sent to kill him, but a miracle happened that he wasn't killed. That can be concluded if you see that they are showing anger with him. As we continue in the Gemara, we encounter a new geometric form. This form represents a series of memros of Rova bar Rav Huna. So you'll notice the form here, and two lines from the bottom, you can see again his name is highlighted. And as you continue to Kuf Chof Beis Amud Aleph, a couple more times he is highlighted. The Gemara, Omar Rav Abba bar Kahana, Pamachas Nofal Echad beBeis HaMedrash. On one occasion, one of these mazikin came to the Beis Medrash. The Omad Nivsi Echad v'Horgoi. Nivsi is a person from that place, and he was a Jewish fellow from that place, and he's called Nivsi, as you might call someone a Mitzri, someone from Mitzrayim. This person was from a place that warranted his being called a Nivsi. Omar Rebbe. Now, you'll notice that we have a diamond marking to highlight Rebbe's reaction we want to feature Rebbe in the different memros that Rebbe Abba Bar Kahana makes. That you'll see in each one of the memros, a diamond follows the bow tie. So Rebbe, in hearing about this Nivsi killing the snake that fell in the Beis Medrash, Poga Boi Kayotse Bo. Well, that means one that was like one met up with one another. That phrase in and of itself is kind of vague. Ibayalo Poga Bo Kayotse Bo De Shapiro Bit. Oh no. Was Rebbe trying to say that he did something good? And the v'chayotze bo is not something meant negatively, but rather the snake was running after him, and the snake became victim of what the snake was trying to do. So that the snake was trying to kill someone, and someone else killed him. So that they're similar. They're kayotze bo in that sense that they were both one was trying to hurt the other, and the other successfully repelled the snake. Or maybe not. And the chayotze bo means a snake came here, and a snake is presented as a negative entity, and this nifsi is like him, also negative, and that is killing the snake on Shabbos was no good. So we want to know, what's Rebbe's opinion on this? Toshma de Rabbi Abba Brei de Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Rabbi Zera, Havu Yasvi Akilo Debei Rabbi Yanai. So these two Rabbonin were sitting on the porch of Rabbi Yanai. Nofak Milsa Mibinayu, a discussion came from between them. Bo'u Minei Me Rabbi Yanai. And they asked of Rabbi Yanai, who was the host, Mahu Larog Nechoshim Akrovim B'Shabbos. So one allowed to kill snakes and scorpions on Shabbos. Omar Luhu, so Rabbi Yanai said to them, Tzira Ani Horeg. I would kill even a Tzira, possibly a bee or a wasp. Nechosh V'Akrov Lo Kol Shekein. A snake and a scorpion all the more so. Now Rashi says, Tirani Horeg B'Shabbos, L'chalois Mazikin, to get rid of Mazikin. V'afal pi she'eino mu'edis ko'elo, even if, though it's less damaging, less certain to damage than a snake or a scorpion. And therefore a snake or a scorpion all the more so. So we would conclude then that Rebbe's reaction above was of a positive nature, that it's a good thing to get rid of Mazikin. The Gemara rejects this and says, Dilma lefi tumo. Rashi, four lines from the bottom, says, Dilma lefi tumo, lo shi'amor olavi argenu lehedya, not that one is allowed to deliberately and purposefully kill it. Elo kishu olech letumo v'noch shakrov lefonaviv. A person is having to be strolling along, and a snake or a scorpion is in front of him. Ain't sorach lishal made me many. You don't have to change directions. Elo darchav olech. You can walk right over it, right on top of it, crush it. V'meis b'chosel yamus. And if it dies because of your stamping on it, so be it. Hoyav lo niskavein. Since you didn't have as your intention walking there to kill it. The Dover Shem Eskavi, the Rebutim, the Rabbonin, Hulin, and Mazikin, Lo Gozer. So, the heter that Rabbi Yanai was talking about was maybe Lefi Tumo. And therefore, we can't conclude from what Rabbi Yanai said to that which happened in the Beis Medrash with the Nivsi, who wasn't walking Lefi Tumo, but actually aimed at the snake purposefully to kill it. We continue in the Gemara, and you'll notice we have a series of triangles, and they illustrate that which was just pointed out in the Gemara, the Omar Rav Yehuda, Roke Dorsu Lefi Tumo. Roke is saliva that if one is walking and in his path there is a roke, even though by trampling on the saliva you might be evening out the floor, the mixture of the dampness, the wetness of the saliva and the dirt floor would be so that when you walk on it, so you're, and in effect might be smoothing out the floor. And that's called mashvi gumos. So that we're saying that if it's in the course of your walking, you're allowed to continue on the path as long as you don't have the intention of smoothing out any gumos. It's mutter because and your trampling of the saliva will keep you from being disgusted by its presence. So what you're accomplishing is removing by trampling it, you're removing that which is disgusting. And if the floor happens to get smoothed out as a result, that's not a problem. The Omar Rav Sheshes, Nochosh Dorso Lefi Tumo. That is the topic we just finished discussing before regarding the Mazikin. The Omar Rav Katino, Akrov Dorso Lefi Tumo. And you notice how we dashed underline Nochosh and Akrov. This was simply to to show the basis of that which Rav Yanai mentioned, that which we mentioned before in the Rav Yanai discussion, that where Rav Yanai said, Tzirani Horeg Nochosh V'Akrov Lo Kol Shekein, we're talking about in a Lefi Tumo fashion where they were simply in your path. The Gemara continues, Ar Abo Bar Marto Dehu Abo Bar Minyumi. There is just an issue of his actual name. Abo Bar Marto was actually his real name is Abo Bar Minyumi. Have a Maski Bey De Bey Resh Galusa Zuzi. this Abba owed the house of the Reish Galusa, the exilarch, the exilarch's family, or the exilarch authority, Abba owed them money. Aisuhu, they hauled him in. Where's the money? They hauled him in Kometzarele, and they were oppressing him. They were putting pressure on him. Havashodi Roika. It was Shabbos, and there was some roke. There was some saliva that was sitting on the floor in front of them. Amar lahu Reish Galusa, Aisu Mona Schifu Iluya. Bring a vessel and cover the saliva. The saliva is disgusting. Omar lahu Abba, who was just hauled in for the dead, said, Lo Tzrifisu, you don't have to flip over a vessel on it. Hochi Am Rabuda. Rabuda says, Rok Dorso Lefitumo. If someone happens to be walking over the spot, and apparently that was the case, you can continue walking right over it, and that'll get rid of the roke. You don't have to flip over a vessel. Omar lahu, the Reish Galusa, upon hearing Abba say this halacha, he says, Oh, Tzur b'mera bonenhu, shavku, he is a Torah scholar, leave him be. The Omar Rebbe Abba Bar Kahana, Omar of Hanina, Pamotos Shel Beis Rebbe, Mutter Letaltalon B'Shabbos. Pamotos are something that might translate as a candelabra. It's a vessel that you fill it with oil, and it has wicks, and it burns. Rashi says Pamotos are menoros. V'lo Shel Chuyas Hoyu, they were solid candelabras not made of parts that are attached to one another. So a unit like that, let us assume that, of course, it's not burning right now. It's something that has been used in the past, possibly, but it's not burning right now. Otherwise, one would be hard pressed to allow the movement of it. So we're talking about the vessel itself without the flame. So he says it's mutter to move that on Shabbos. Omar le Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera asks, "Benitlin biyodo achas o b'shtei odayim? Is it a small candelabra that you can move with one hand, or is it very large that you would need two?" Omar le. So he answered, "Keoison shel beis avicha." Rashi says they were small. In other words, the translation of the Gemara as well. If you ask about the size of these pamotos, so he answered, it's like your father's house, like your father's pamotos. Rashi, though, adds very importantly, the small ones, like in your house. And however, large ones, Rashi adds, Odom Kuvela and Mokom, a person, when he places it down, he places it down with the intent of it remaining there and not being moved. We continue again at the top line of Kuf Chof Beis Omer Aleph, another Memra of Rabbi Abba, V'omer Rabbi Abba Bar Gan Omer Rav Chanina, Kronos Shel Beis Rebbe, Mutter Letaltalon B'Shabbos. Rashi says, Kronos Asuyos L'Bnei Odom, we can say they're carts for people to be moved in them, and the Kronos of Beis Rebbe, Mutter Letaltalon B'Shabbos. Omar Le, Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera asks, "Benitlin ba'odom echad o b'shnei b'nei odom? Are these carts moved by one person, or are they large that you would need two people to move them?" Omar Le, ka'oison shel beis avicha, like in your father's house. Again, let's assume, like we saw before, the pamotos, small carts, ones that could be moved by one. The Omar, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Hitir Lohem Rabbi Chanino Leveis Rabbi Lishtos Yayin BeKronos Shel Nochri BeChosem Echad. Rabbi Chanino, he was a legal authority, a posek, and he allowed the family members of the household of Rabbi to drink wine that was transported by Gentiles, if the wine container had a singular seal on it. That's a choysem echad. In order to prevent tampering with the contents of vessels when they contain things that whose kashrus is important to maintain, So we find that a seal on it will prevent the contents from being tampered. In the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, you find the need for a double seal on many occasions. And one of those occasions, one of those examples, is something like wine. However, in this Gemara, we are seeing that you don't necessarily need to have a double seal. And that's what we want to investigate right now. Why is it that one seal on the wine receptacle will be enough? Velo yodano, I don't know, says Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, im yishum de sovar lo k'Rabbi Eliezer. Is it because Rabbi Hanina ruled like this holds, like Rabbi Eliezer in Maseches Avodah Zarah? He has a unique shita that wine is allowed provided it has one seal on it. We didn't give too much background to this piece of Gemara, but we should, just to make sure that no misunderstanding results. Wine must be maintained as kosher wine for a Jew to benefit from it. And when we speak about kosher wine, we mean that it was that in its processing, it is handled exclusively by Jews and not come into contact with Gentile hands. How do you ensure that once the wine has been bottled, that it hasn't been tampered with? So we have the need for a seal on it. So how many do you have to have? How many seals do you need to ensure that it hasn't been tampered? So there is a shita, namely Rabbi Eliezer, that says one seal is enough. So is that the reason for Rabbi Hanina's leniency here? E mishum emso de benasio. Or it's only because it is specifically the wine of base Rebbe. Rebbe was the Nossi. He was a leading authority figure. And as a result, a Gentile who is transporting Rebbe's wine would be afraid of the authority of Rebbe's household, and he wouldn't tamper with it. And because you have this added feature of the we'll call the governmental fear aspect, therefore one seal is enough. But in general, if it were wine being transferred by a Gentile, kosher wine being transported by a Gentile for a common Jew, then even Rabbi Hanina would not say one seal would suffice. That remains unclear as far as what was motivating Rabbi Hanina in ruling one seal is enough in the case of the base Rebbe. So be it. So we're left with that vagueness. And with that, we conclude our shiur for today.